All right, now on to today's roundtable. The latest on Don Imus and his suspension. The president rolls out another immigration reform plan. Plus, Apple says it sold 100 million iPods. What's that about? Well, joining us today to hash it all out from NPR's New York Bureau are Bob Meadows, who writes for People magazine, and Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. Also, Chicago Sun-Times columnist Laura Washington joining us from Carbondale, Illinois. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Tony.
All right, let's start with Don Imus. We talked about this yesterday, but there are some new developments since then. Both MSNBC and CBS announced late yesterday that they are suspending their broadcasts of his talk show for 2 weeks starting Monday. Now, Imus has apologized and apologized and apologized and apologized again. And today he appeared on the Today Show where he said he is ready to take his punishment.
I think it's appropriate, and I am going to try to serve it with some dignity and a lot of dignity if I can.
Well, that may be, but several prominent black leaders are still demanding Imus's resignation, the NAACP for one. What say you, Mike Myers?
I say Imus is apologizing for being Imus. I find it shocking that CBS Radio and MSNBC TV should be so shocked and surprised so suddenly that Imus is a shock jock. Imus is doing what Imus has been doing. And Don Imus and Al Sharpton, what a pair. Both men regularly, frequently think and speak like racists. They make so much of race. And they both have radio shows. I find both of them offensive, but I would not fire them from their radio shows. The issue for me is a judgment about the people in power who put them on the air in the first place.
That's an interesting point, because I was going to suggest to you, Bob Meadows, that it's awfully quiet from the sponsors. I haven't heard anything. Have you?
No, I can't say that I have either. But I think Mike points it out that Imus has been doing this. This is his shtick. I mean, I remember when he made comments about Gwen Ifill years ago. He's made comments about Jewish people. He really attacks everybody, and he couches it in humor. Whether or not you find him funny, I have to say, I admit, I've never listened to his show. This type of humor, you know, I'm always up for free speech. I'm always up for that. But, you know, you always have to pay the consequences. You're not ever going to really stop people from saying idiotic things about other people. And obviously, what this was so disturbing on several levels, what he said about these Rutgers women. And I'm not sure whether it was the nappy headed or the hoe part, which or just the combination of both of them. But yeah, his sponsors are probably just like, yeah, we're just going to stay out of this and see what happens next.
You know, Laura Washington, that's an interesting point, too, because there is some question whether or not this incident will change him in some way in terms of how he behaves on the air. Do you think it might?
Well, of course not. And it won't change behavior, talk show, shock jock behavior, whether it's Imus's or whether it's Al Sharpton's or whether it's any other type of commentator. And not just, I'm not just talking about radio either. I mean, remember Michael Richards, Mr. Kramer? Remember Mel Gibson? This is not the first incident like this. It won't be the last. I do believe that MSNBC did distance itself from his comments with the usual, you know, tired disclaimer about that he does not represent the views of, these are his own personal views. But the problem is that the media, and the mainstream media in particular, has been getting away with this for decades. Something like this happens, they issue a disclaimer, somebody apologizes, and it moves on. And it moves on because their pocketbooks do not get affected. People complain, and there's a lot of criticism, there's a lot of outcry now, but will people stop watching? Will the advertisers move away? It's not just the stations themselves, it's also the advertisers. But for me, the most outrageous thing in all this is the hypocrisy of the people who continue to go on his show, the people who are on the show for the so-called intellectual public policy discussions, everyone from Tom Brokaw to Tim Russert to Andrea Mitchell to Jeff Greenfield, all these TV stars, and the politicians like John McCain and Joe Lieberman, who continue to go on the show. And in fact, in John McCain's case, he said yesterday that he's already forgiven Mr. Imus, and you know, he said something to the effect that he's a great believer in redemption, and he feels that Don Imus has been redeemed. Well, he's a great believer in his own self-interest, and that's why these folks go on this show, and while they are essentially enabling him and condoning this kind of behavior by giving a credit.
Wait, but wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Don Imus has a show. He has millions of listeners. People go on the show.
People go on
that show in order to reach that audience. The problem is, if there is a problem, and I say if there is a problem here, is that race talk sells and buffoonery sells. Don Imus is a buffoon, Al Sharpton is a buffoon, and we have so many buffoons on the radio who have their own shows. So Don Imus may be off for a couple of weeks or a few weeks. You turn the dial, you got some other buffoons talking trash about race, about gender, about lampooning people because of their racial characteristics or their gender, and it's racial idiocy, but we've dumbed down media. We've dumbed down the level of talk radio,
except
on NPR.
What do you do, folks, if you're Barack Obama? Do you stay away from Don Imus?
Of course not.
Well, Barack Obama doesn't need Don Imus. He's at the place where he's got every top-rated show in the country begging him to come on. He was on David Letterman last night. So that's not the issue. I think, though, getting back to Michael's point about spray selling, that gets to the point of the money. As long as these shows make money, as long as the folks that go on these shows see some financial or political or professional interest in being on these shows, whether they're talking about race, sex, or anything else, they're going to continue to do that.
All right. Well, let's move on to another topic because we can talk about this one all day, and there may be some other development tomorrow. We may have to do it all over again. Let's talk quickly about President Bush's immigration reform plan, because he was in Arizona, as we all know, saying that it's time for Congress to approve the latest legislation to overhaul the U.S. immigration policy. He says he's already improved border security. Now he wants to see it improve in the interior of the country. He supports, as we know, revised temporary worker program and a new plan to help some workers already in the U.S. earn their citizenship. Bob Meadows, with the Democrats in control of Congress, what chance does immigration reform now have?
There's a phrase no chance in hell, I think, is the one I'm looking for. That was the phrase I was looking for.
Watch that clang.
Oh, sorry. People thought, well, you know, hey, if the Democrats come in, this may have a better chance of coming in. In fact, there were plenty of Republicans campaigning who were like, hey, don't vote for these Democrats because they're going to open the floodgates. Well, you know, the White House is putting forth a plan. And Nancy Pelosi, I love this about her. She's like, well, you know what, President Bush, you're going to have to get 70 Republicans to say they'll support this plan before I even put it to a vote. Mm. So she wants to see Bush twist. The reason why she's doing that is because, A, she wants to see Bush twist. B, she wants Republicans to be responsible for passing this for even bringing this legislation up. She wants them to be debating it so that, A, different segments of the voting public will see the Republicans saying either, yes, we're for opening the floodgates, so to speak, or B, no way will we ever let these Latinos in, illegal immigrants in, I'm sorry. And she wants Latinos to hear Republicans saying that. She wants to put them out there so that they're the ones responsible, so the Democrats can just sort of sit back and say, hey, you know what, we tried to do it, but the Republicans couldn't even support their own president. Why should we?
Well, are there certain parts of this proposal that you do think the public may be more likely to embrace than others?
No. This is Michael Myers. It's too late for immigration reform. The President Bush admits that it's impractical, he says, to round up millions of undocumented aliens. Well, I'll put my tongue in cheek because I don't want to be fired from the radio. But it is impractical if you don't make a start in rounding them up. Right. But it's also impractical, fanciful, to think that 12 million, and that's a conservative estimate, undocumented workers who have entered this country illegally, who have lived here for years, who may have committed fraud in doing so in terms of staying here, are going to go back to their so-called other country, native lands, and pay a fine and then line up behind everybody else who are trying to get in legally to this country. That's just fanciful.
Incredulous is the word that came to my mind.
Incredulous.
Well, let's make it clear, though, that we are not just talking about Mexican or even Latino immigrants.
That's right.
A majority of them are, but this country has opened its arm to immigrant groups, and there's many Eastern Europeans, there's many Asians. This is not just about a Mexican problem. I think, though, that
I didn't say
the whole argument. Well, you know, Michael, I will debate that with you. I think that's part of the
I did not say
Mexican. That we demonized Latinos and Mexicans in this country, and that's why it is so difficult to pass this bill.
I did not say Mexican.
I think that the issue of rounding them up and sending them back is a non-starter. It's just not going to happen, especially when you see the kind of response that we had last year in the immigration rallies all over this country when these folks were threatened. If you think they're threatened by just pending legislation, you get some legislation that's going to send them back over the border, you're going to have chaos on your hands.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
And they're not leaving.
And they're not leaving very loudly.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the American people would welcome immigrants. We want them to come in legally, though, so that if you're trying to make it legal, that is a part that American people would actually embrace.
Right. And you have to do something about the undocumented issue. You have to do something about people crossing the borders willy-nilly, whatever border, the Canadian border, the southern border, whatever border.
Whatever border. All right, let's move on to our very last topic. We're going to really rush through this one, so follow me on this, okay? First, we had American Idol, then Dancing with the Stars, and America's Next Top Model. Now we have this.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast.
That's right. Are you ready to kung fu fight? Apparently, you may want to get a chance to get on Jackie Chan's new reality show. They are looking for kung fu dancing fighters. 100,000 people, folks, in China have already signed up to see this. Now, we only have about 45 seconds or less. But can you imagine people getting on TV, knocking each other out, trying to, who don't really know what they're doing?
That's called The Price is Right, isn't it?
I have to ask. Only Chinese qualified to be kung fu fighters?
How come
African Americans can't be kung fu fighters? How come I can't qualify?
Well, I don't know.
Excuse me, Jackie Chan.
You're the best dancers anyway, right?
You'll have to try out for the Chris Tucker part for Rush Hour 4, 5, and 6.
But, you know, Tony, there was a show back in the 80s or early 90s called Gladiators that I used to love.
Right.
And it was people running around bumping into each other. So I might watch it if it's a little bit more high tech.
But they weren't only Chinese.
No, they weren't. Listen, we're out of time. Joining us today, People Magazine writer Bob Meadows, Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, and Chicago Sun-Times columnist Laura Washington. Everybody, thank you very much. A good roundtable today.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.